companions, believers, the stories we hear, the timeless message forever clear. The timeless message forever clear. The timeless message. The timeless message.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, as-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulallah, as-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Habiballah, as-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Noorallah. Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to another fantastic episode on the silsila, the timeless message, in which we discuss many accounts, incidents, parables, from the Holy Quran, from the beautiful ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the biographies and the life of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so much more, dear viewers of Madini channel. And today, alhamdulillah, we have a beautiful, enlightening topic of discussion, and that is regarding Islam, the way of life. Yes, and of course, our beautiful religion of Islam, it always has a timeless message for you and I. And today, alhamdulillah, we are going to be learning and educating ourselves regarding our beautiful religion of Islam, inshallah. But before that, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this regard, our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that decorate your gatherings by reciting salawat upon me, for your recitation of salawat upon me will be a noor, a light for you on the day of Qiyamah. So let us all collectively, with full of love, send salawat upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, you and I are truly blessed, dear viewers of Madani channel. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you and I a very great wealth, a very great treasure, such that it is priceless. Money cannot buy it. And that is the wealth and treasure of Iman, subhanallah. This Iman that we have, dear viewers of Madani channel, we have to protect it. We have to secure it. We have to make sure that we protect our iman. How do we do that? By obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By making dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect your iman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you and I with Islam. Yes, Islam is the way of life. You know, before the advent of Islam, it was known as the Dark Ages, the period, the age of Jahiliyyah, of ignorance. And what happened in that era? So much of indecencies, vices, immoralities, immodesty, sins, that, you know, there is so much, you can't even name all of them. Some of them you can't even mention it because of how disgusting it is, that used to take place in the period of Jahiliyyah. You know, women were objectified. Women were used as objects. Women had no rights. And Allahu Akbar, gambling would take place. Fornication would take place. So much of indecencies. Drinking was like a norm. It was like normal. And like that, they lived their lives in this darkness. They wouldn't know how to eat. They just ate anyhow, went to the toilet anyhow, did everything with no ethics, no etiquette, no respect, no nothing. And with the advent of Islam, with the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see today millions and millions across the globe, we know how to eat because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us how to eat. We know how to drink water Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us how to drink water. That we don't just gulp the entire water down. No, we don't do that. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught you and I to drink water in three sips. You and I know how to sleep because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught you and I how to sleep. In what posture should you sleep in? How to go to the toilet? How to purify yourself? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that. How to make wudu? How to make ghusl? How to perform salah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught you and I all of this. The views of Madinah channel. In essence, in entirety, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught you and I how to live in this world. How to live as a human being. How to live as a Muslim, as a mu'min, as a believer. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us the views of Madinah channel. So subhanallah, and you know, this is something that we have to be grateful for. We have to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with Islam, for granting you and I Iman. And alhamdulillah, you know, Islam is a peace-loving and truthful religion. Now it is a perfect religion that's actually spreading very fast across the entire globe. And Islam is the only religion which has the largest number of followers and well-wishers in the entire world. Yes, you know, in every aspect. It has the best principles, the and finest guidance for individuals from every walk of life. You know, be it religious, worldly, and the hereafter, moral, physical, spiritual, domestic, family, social and economic. These things, you know, it prove that Islam is the way of life. Islam is the complete way of life. And alhamdulillah, only Islam is the chosen religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Holy Quran, it is mentioned, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. That this day I have perfected your religion for you and completed my favor upon you and chosen Islam for you as a religion. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Look at how beautifully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing you and I, the views of Madinah channel, in the Holy Quran, that Allah Ta'ala has completed His favor, that Islam has been chosen as a religion for you and I, the best, the way of life. Now, Islam has mentioned many, many rights of women and has granted them such an elevated status and rank in the society, which has, you know, raised the heads of mankind in pride. No, in the Holy Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَحِلُّ لَكُمْ أَن تَرِثُوا النِّسَاءَ كَرْهًا وَلَا تَعْضُلُوهُنَّ لِتَذْهَبُوا بِبَعْضِ مَا آتِيتُمُوهُنَّ إِلَّا أَنْ يَأْتِينَ بِفَاحِشَةٍ مُبَيِّنَةٍ وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفٍ فَإِنْ كَرِهْتُمُوهُنَّ فَعَسَىٰ أَنْ تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. The translation, O you who believe, it is not permissible for you to become inheritors of woman by force. And do not confine the woman so that you take part of the bridal gift, meaning the mahr, you gave them, except if they commit an act of clear indecency and live with them in harmony. Then if you do not like them, it's possible that there is something which you dislike. And Allah Ta'ala places thee in goodness in abundance. Subhanallah, subhanallah. You know, in Tafsir Qurtubi, Allama Qurtubi rahimahullah, he has said that before Islam, it was the practice of the Arabs that they would become the inheritors of their relatives' wives, just as they would become inheritors of their wealth. They then either would keep them as spouses without giving dowry, or they would marry them to others and keep their dowry themselves. Or they would not let them marry further, but keep them with themselves so that they could get the inheritance from them when they would receive it, and only then would they free them. And another reason why they would prevent women was to become the inheritors when they would die. In short, the woman would be completely helpless in their hands and could not do anything of their own free will. So this verse, this ayah, was revealed to abolish this practice. Likewise, we see Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he said, and he mentions that this verse is about the one who hates his wife and mistreats her, so that she either returns the dowry or forgives it after becoming distressed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden it. And one opinion is that men would divorce women and then would take them back and would then divorce them again. And in this way, they would keep woman unsettled. Neither could she live with him peacefully, nor could she remarry. And this has been forbidden. And regarding this ayah as well, in Tafsir Siratul Jinan, it has been mentioned that, you know, when we ponder over the conditions of the pre-Islamic era, the age of Jahiliyyah, the period of ignorance, so when we ponder over this, the conditions of that time mentioned in this verse, the thought comes to our mind that do we not have the same conditions in our society today? And in our society, woman as a wife is distressed, forced to forgive her dowry, her rights are not fulfilled, and she is mentally tormented. Sometimes, you know, she is even forced to stay at her parents' home, and sometimes she is kept at home, but her husband does not talk to her, she is scolded, she is reproached, etc., in front of others. And she makes every possible effort for what to please her husband, but her husband behaves arrogantly, like Firaun, and constant demands are directly made from her family or through her, asking for something at one time and another thing at other times. So in short, every type of oppression and injustice can be found in our homes. And, you know, moreover, in the light of these blessed verses, even the people should ponder a little who feel embarrassed about Islam and using ambiguous words, say, there are many hardships for women in Islam. They should reflect on whether Islam has caused hardships for women or has saved women from hardships. Now remember that women, as I was mentioning earlier on, that women were in a very dire state before the advent of Islam. And for men, women were nothing but a toy to satisfy their carnal desires. Women would give men whatever they would earn after working hard the entire day and night. And yet cruel men would not value women, but rather they would beat them up, hit them, and that for trivial matters, for small things. They would cut off the ear, nose, and other body parts, and sometimes would even kill them. And the Arabs would even, you know, bury their daughters alive back in that time, in the period of ignorance, the dark ages. And also, after the father's death, just as sons would become the owners of the land and property left by their father, you know what would also happen? They would also become the owners of his wives, meaning their fathers' wives, they would become the owner of them, forcing them to become their slave woman. Allahu Akbar. And the woman, she was not given any portion of inheritance from her mother, father, brother, sister, or husband. Nor was she allowed to be the owner of anything. But when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam arrived with Islam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything changed. And subhanAllah, due to the blessings, the virtue of Islam, the status, the rank of women who were once the victims of oppression and injustice of cruel men became so high that she was declared a mercy in the form of a daughter. Her feet became compared to the threshold of Jannah in the form of a mother. And subhanAllah, she was given such respect and status in the society which could not even be imagined in the past. You know, in terms of acts of worship and dealings, or rather, in every stage of life and death, women have been given rights just like men. So women have been given the right of ownership. Yes, they have the right of ownership. They have been declared to be the owner of their dowry, their businesses, and their properties, and have been made inheritors of the inheritance left by their parents, their brothers, their sisters, children and husbands. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Look at the status and the maqam that women have received due to Islam by the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. All of these evil practices have been abolished, and women are not used as objects. Women are not used as toys, because women have gotten respect from Islam, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Women now have gotten respect. So with that being said, together with that, we have to also think, you know, for our Islamic sisters out there, that dress modestly, you know, follow the lifestyle of Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, Sayyida Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha, Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, and all the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of the Ahlul Bayt. Follow them, and you would see so much of barakah, success, and prosperity in this world as well as in the hereafter. And subhanAllah, this is one aspect, right, of how Islam informs you and I about the rank of woman. And Islam also gives us guidance with regards to our parents. Yes, parents are those individuals whose children mean everything to him, everything to them. You know, parents are such that you cannot replace them. Once they're gone, they're gone. There is no second. A father is a father, a mother is a mother. The father can't be replaced, the mother can't be replaced. They are priceless. Yes, your parents, they are priceless. And no matter if the children are useless or disobedient or disabled, the parents, subhanAllah, they still take their children as the apple of their eyes. And unfortunately, parents are the helpless members of society who have been oppressed in every era. You know, disobedient children, they forget all the favors of their parents and consider them, ma'adallah, to be an inconvenience. Yes, we see this today, how children treat their parents. You know, they treat their parents, not all, illa mashallah, but some. They treat their parents worse than even servants. Now, if parents advise their children for their betterment, children, they give them this look with their big red eyes. They scold them, they taunt them, and threaten to take them out from the home. And things have now reached a stage that in some countries, old age homes have been established to look after the parents who have been removed and taken away from their homes. Why? Because they were being oppressed by their children. And in the old age homes, parents spend their entire life feeling sorrow for the separation from their children and crying in their remembrance. Now remember that Islam strongly condemns these things. In Islam, plenty of clear guidance has been given on the respect for parents and fulfilling their rights. You know, the amount of encouragement and emphasis Islam has put on following their rights and protecting their honor is sufficient to awaken heedless people to it. And, you know, commanding people to treat the parents well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran in Surah Bani Israel, when it's mentioned, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا وَاخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. And be kind to your parents. If one or both of them reach old age in your presence, then do not even say uff to them, and do not scold them, and speak to them with cautious words, and lower your wing of humility to them out of affection, and say, O my Rabb, have mercy on them both as they raised me when I was a child. Allahu Akbar. Look at this beautiful instruction from the Holy Quran, dear viewers of Madani Channel, for you and I to respect our parents, to obey them, and not to be disobedient towards them. You know, in the book Jannati Zewar, subhanAllah, it has been written that do not cause any kind of inconvenience to your parents by any of your words and actions. Even if they wrong you to some extent, it is still compulsory for you not to hurt their feelings. Yes, perhaps they may say something to you, you don't like it. And maybe, you know, they are wrong to a certain extent. It still does not give you the right to take off with them. Because it is still compulsory for you not to hurt their feelings at all in every single state. In all states, you cannot hurt their feelings. And respect your parents, you know, by every word and every action of yours. And always take care of their respect. Obey the instructions of your parents in every permissible action. And the next point is, if your parents need anything, look after them with your time and money. Yes, look after them. If they need some medication, if they feeling for something to eat, what harm is there? What loss is there to you if after work you go stop at the shop, you perhaps get a chocolate or a fruit or something, you know, and give it to your father, give it to your mother. That will bring a smile on their face. That will make them happy. And when they get happy, when you make your parents happy, they would give you du'as. And their du'as are accepted for you. Yes. So look after them with your time and your money. The next point is, if your parents take anything from your wealth and possessions out of need, then do not think bad of it. And nor express your anger towards them, but rather consider that you and your entire wealth all belong to your parents. Because in a hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to a person, "Anta wa maluka li abika," meaning you and your wealth all belong to your father. Subhanallah. The next point is that if your parents pass away, it is their right on children to keep making du'as for their forgiveness. And they should also continue conveying the reward of the nafil acts of worship and charity to their ruh, to their souls. And they should keep sending the reward to their souls after reciting Fatiha over food or mithai, sweetmeats, etc. The next point is that this you should have good conduct and kindness towards the friend of your parents and to those who would regularly meet and treat them well, and pay off your parents' debts and act upon their wills after their death. Yes, if your parents has any debt, then pay it off. Don't procrastinate in that aspect. You know, you come to know your parents has a debt, pay it off. The next point is that do not do those things which used to cause pain to your parents when they were alive, even after their death, as it will inflict pain on their souls. Allahu Akbar. So you want to keep them happy even after they pass away, you don't want to hurt them, then you and I, we need to do more and more good deeds. Whenever you recite the Holy Quran, you give in charity, whatever good you are doing, convey the reward of that, convey the thawab of that to your parents. And the last point is that visit the graves of your parents from time to time. Now go there, recite Fatiha at their graves, say salam to them, and make dua of forgiveness for them. And these acts, what it will do, it will actually please their souls. And the angels take the reward of Fatiha in trays of light and present them before your parents, which will do what? Which will please them. And then they will make dua for their children. Yes. So respecting, loving and obeying your parents, dear viewers of Madinah Channel, religion of Islam has given you and I beautiful guidelines. You want to prosper? You want success in this world, in the qabr and in the hereafter? Then respect your parents. The father is the middle door to Jannah. Jannah lies under the feet of your mother. I'm sure you've heard of Sayyidina Bayezid Bustami rahimahullah, how he became a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. It's mentioned just to show you the importance of serving your parents and taking du'as from them, how efficient it is for a child. You know, in those days, it was not so advanced as it is today, where you have a toilet in your home, you have shower in your home, you have taps around the house. Whenever you feel thirsty, you can just open the tap and the water will come out. Back in those days, if you needed to go toilet, you had to go out the house. You needed to drink water, you had to go get water from out the house. So, on a cold night, the mother of Sayyidina Bayezid Bustami rahimahullah, she asks him that, "Oh my son, please get me some water, I'm feeling thirsty." So Sayyidina Bayezid Bustami rahimahullah, in the middle of the night, it's cold, freezing cold, he goes out, it's a bit far from where they were staying. So he goes, he gets the water, he comes back. When he enters the room of his mother, he finds that she fell off to sleep. What does he do? Does he leave the glass there? Does he wait there? Does he wake up his mother? What does he do? You know what he did? He waited there the entire night until his mother woke up. Yes, with the glass in his hand. He never even put the glass down. He was still holding the glass and he stood there the entire night waiting for his mother to wake up. And when his mother woke up, she saw him and she asked him that, "Oh my son, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you standing here?" And he says that, "Oh my mother, you asked me to bring water for you. I brought the water, but by the time I came back, I got late. By the time I came back, you were fast asleep, oh my mother. And I did not want to wake you up by disturbing your peaceful sleep. So I let you be and I waited for you to wake up and then I would present the water to you." And when his mother, when she heard this, she started tearing. And when she took the glass from her son's hand, his skin peeled off with that glass because of how cold it was, that his skin and the glass, it got stuck. And due to that, some of his skin peeled off with the glass. When his mother saw this, she started crying and she made dua for him. She said, "Oh Allah, I am pleased and happy with my son Bayezid. You also be pleased with him." Subhanallah, subhanallah. And we see that today millions around the globe, they remember Sayyidina Bayezid Bustami, rahimahullah. He gained a name, he gained success, he gained prosperity in this world, in the Qabr, and in the hereafter. He gained all of it. How? Due to serving his mother, due to being obedient to his mother. So, dear viewers of Madinah Channel, you have your parents alive, your father is alive, your mother is alive. Treat them well, treat them with respect and love and muhabba. And if your parents have passed on, then continue to do isali and thawab for them. Whenever you recite salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, convey the reward of that to your parents. Make sure that you are treating their friends well. Go and visit the graveyard, recite Fatiha there, stay there for some time, and they get happy. They get happy you doing all of this as their children. So yes, these are the beautiful teachings and guidelines that Islam has given you and I with regards to our parents. And subhanallah, after our parents, the relationship between a sister and a brother is considered to be very close, right? A brother and sister, they are always close, you know, and we see that brothers and sisters, they usually, you know, when they are little, growing up, they usually fight with each other. But this is the love, this is the muhabba, and this is the relationship between a brother and sister, wherein they quarrel with each other, but all of that is out of love. So the relationship between a brother and a sister is very close. It's considered to be very close. And after the death of one's parents, there is a danger that their relationship will break down. So, to settle disagreements between siblings, the person Islam has honored after the parents and has granted rank and esteem, and taught that he must be respected and revered, is none other than the elder brother. Yes. And to highlight, you know, the importance of the elder brother, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, حَقُّ كَبِيرِ الْإِخْوَةِ عَلَىٰ صَغِيرِهِمْ حَقُّ الْوَالِدِ عَلَىٰ وَلَدِهِ. That the right of the elder brother over his younger brothers and sisters is like the right of the father over the son. Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the same affection and love in the heart of the elder brother for his younger siblings, for his younger brothers and sisters, as he has created in the heart of the father. In the presence of the father, the elder brother takes care of his younger siblings and fulfills their needs. And if the father passes away, the elder brother carries his responsibilities in a good manner. And all these favors of the elder brother demand that the younger siblings, the younger brothers and sisters, respect him, give him the status of parents in their absence, or at least, you know, consider him to be their guardian. Yes. And they should refrain from backbiting, telling tales, and having bad presumptions about him. They should, as far as possible, act upon his permissible wishes and instructions. They should always maintain a good relationship with him. And if he ever becomes angry, then they should take the initiative and apologize to him and try their best to bring him around. Allahu Akbar. Look at these guidelines, dear viewers of Madinah Channel, that Islam has given with regards to the elder brother. You know, Sayyidina Jarir bin Hazim rahimahullah said that, "I once had a dream in which I saw that my head was in my hands. I wanted to find out the interpretation of his dream. So he says that I went to Imam Ibn Sirin rahimahullah. And Imam Ibn Sirin rahimahullah, he was an expert in interpreting dreams. So he asked me, are any of your parents alive? I replied, no. Then he said, do you have an elder brother? I replied, yes. And then he said, continue fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Treat him well and refrain from breaking ties with him. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Can you imagine, viewers of Madani Channel, the respect, the rank that the elder brother has? So if you have, I'm sure you do, most, we all do, alhamdulillah. So respect your elder brother. Love him, obey him, do not upset him, do not make him angry, but be there for him, support him, help him. And in this way, inshallah, you would see love, unity, and mahabbah. Now, while Islam has taught the young to respect the elder brother, it has also ordered the elders to show love and affection to their younger brothers and sisters. Look at the balance of Islam, the views of Madani Channel. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And that is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever has three daughters or three sisters, or two daughters or two sisters, and he treats them well, and fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in relation to them, then Jannah is for him. And in another narration, it's mentioned that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he is not from us who does not show mercy to our young ones, does not respect our elders, and does not recognize our rights. Allahu Akbar. These are the beautiful teachings of Islam, the views of Madani Channel. As Islam guides us, guides you and I about familial relations and teaches us to fulfill the rights of one another, it also gives us the guiding principles and rules in relation to what? To relatives. Yes. And in the Holy Quran, it is mentioned, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. And fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose name you mention when you ask of one another, and observe familial relations. Indeed, Allah is a protector over you. Now in this verse, in Tafsir al-Na'imi, it's mentioned that the way salah, fasting, hajj, zakah, etc. are necessary for Muslims, similarly, it is also of utmost importance to fulfill the rights of relatives. And it's further mentioned that treating relatives and close family well is very, very beneficial for one's life in this world as well as in the hereafter. It makes all our life, death, and the hereafter better. Now, remember that grandparents, uncles, and aunties, be they maternal or paternal, they also have certain rights. In the book Keys to Paradise, it's mentioned in there that cutting ties with family members is haram and an act leading to Jahannam. So every Muslim should always be cautious in this matter and should not cut ties with his family members, but rather he should always make efforts to maintain relations with them and ensure, you know, that the relationship never comes to an end. You know, some people you get and you hear them say that we only maintain relations, you know, with those family members of ours who keep relations with us, and we will cut relations with those who cut relations with us. We hear of people saying stuff like this. Saying this and adopting this manner are contrary to Islam. And it's further mentioned that there is only one permissible condition of cutting ties with relatives. And that condition is to cut ties based on a religious reason. For example, no matter how close a relative is, if he becomes an apostate, meaning he leaves Islam, or he goes astray or becomes heretic, then it is wajib to cut ties with him. Or if a relative is indulged in a major sin and does not abstain from it, even after he is prevented, but rather he adamantly, you know, remains indulged in committing sins, then it is necessary to cut ties with him. Why? Because keeping ties with him and cooperating with him is like taking part in his major sin, and this act is not permissible at all. Subhanallah. However, it's mentioned as well that if one does not help such a person at all in his acts of sin, and there is no risk of developing an inclination towards sins, then it is not wajib to cut ties with him. And if possible, then you should call him to righteousness so that he may keep away from committing sins. Now remember that Islamic law has mentioned the rights of all the people. But you know, be it parents, relatives, sisters, brothers or neighbors, their rights will only be fulfilled if it is in accordance to Islamic law. Otherwise, none of them will be obeyed, nor will the relation be maintained. Instead, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be obeyed. And we should always keep this point in mind and act upon it in every situation. So subhanAllah, dear viewers of Madani Channel, we have discussed regarding the rights of women, we have discussed regarding the rights of parents, regarding the elder brother as well, regarding treating those younger than you with love and mahabbah, the children, treating them with mercy and with affection. And subhanAllah, all of this, Islam, it guides you and I regarding how to live with one another, how to live in a family, how to live in society, in a community. And mashallah, we do have more to discuss. But before that, let us first and foremost, let us go and listen to a very beautiful kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in order to rejuvenate our hearts, mind, bodies and soul in the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter, we will be back to discuss much more this beautiful topic, inshallah. So let us go and listen to this melodious kalam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Na koi aap jaisa tha, na koi aap jaisa hai, koi Yusuf se puche Mustafa ka husn kaisa hai. اے جلوائے جانانا اے جلوائے جانانا آقا
تو شمع رسالت ہے عالم تیرا پروانا
پروانا
تو ماہ نبوت ہے جلوائے جانانا
آقا
تو شمع رسالت ہے عالم تیرا پروانا
پروانا
تو ماہ نبوت ہے اے جلوائے جانانا
جو ساقی کوثر کے چہرے سے نقاب اٹھے جو ساقی کوثر کے چہرے سے نقاب اٹھے ہر دل بنے میں خانہ ہر آنکھ خاک ہو پیمانہ، ہر دل بنے میں خانہ میں خانہ، ہر آنکھ ہو پیمانہ۔
آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے، عالم تیرا پروانہ
پروانہ،
تو ماہ نبوت ہے اے جلوہ جانانا۔
گر پڑ کے یہاں پہنچا، مر مر کے اسے پایا، گر پڑ کے یہاں پہنچا، مر مر کے اسے پایا، چھوٹے نہ الہی اب سنگے در جانانا، چھوٹے نہ الہی اب یا رب سنگے در جانانا۔
آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے، عالم تیرا پروانہ
پروانہ،
تو ماہ نبوت ہے اے جلوہ جانانا۔
اے جلوہ جانانا، اے جلوہ جانانا، پیتے ہیں تیرے در کا، کھاتے ہیں تیرے در کا، پیتے ہیں تیرے در کا، کھاتے ہیں تیرے در کا، پانی ہے تیرا پانی، دانا ہے تیرا دانا، پانی ہے تیرا پانی، ہاں پانی، دانا ہے تیرا دانا۔
آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے، عالم تیرا پروانہ
پروانہ،
تو ماہ نبوت ہے اے جلوہ جانانا۔
ہر پھول میں بو تیری، ہر شمع میں ذو تیری، ہر پھول میں بو تیری، ہر شمع میں ذو تیری، بلبل ہے تیرا بلبل، پروانہ ہے پروانہ، بلبل ہے تیرا بلبل، ہاں بلبل، پروانہ ہے پروانہ۔
آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے، عالم تیرا پروانہ
پروانہ،
تو ماہ نبوت ہے جلوہ جانانا،
اے جلوہ جانانا، اے جلوہ جانانا۔ وہ کہتے نہ کہتے کچھ، وہ کرتے نہ کرتے کچھ، وہ کہتے نہ کہتے کچھ، وہ کرتے نہ کرتے کچھ، اے کاش وہ سن لیتے مجھ سے میرا افسانہ، اے کاش کاش وہ سن لیتے مجھ سے میرا افسانہ.
آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے, عالم تیرا پروانہ, تو ماہ نبوت ہے اے جلوائے جانانا.
سرکار کے جلووں سے روشن ہے دل نوری, سرکار کے جلووں سے روشن ہے دل نوری, تا حشر رہے روشن نوری کا یہ کاشانہ, تا حشر رہے روشن ہاں روشن نوری کا یہ کاشانہ.
آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے, عالم تیرا پروانہ
جلوائے جانانا, اے جلوائے جانانا.
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. سبحان اللہ, ٹرولی بیوٹیفل heart touching kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us time and time again to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the blessed lands of Madinatul Munawwarah and Makkatul Mukarramah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our love for the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Alhamdulillah, coming back to our topic of discussion, in which we are discussing Islam, the way of life. MashaAllah, we have covered many aspects in this regard. And moving forward, just before we could go and listen to this beautiful kalam, we have been mentioning regarding how you should treat your family members, not to cut ties with them unless they become an apostate, etc. Other than that, then do maintain ties with them. Do not cut off ties and keep that bond, keep that unity. And subhanAllah, we see that a human living in a society mostly comes into contact with his neighbors. And alhamdulillah, it is a great favor of Islam upon mankind that by giving the command of being kind to neighbors, Islam has made believers the protectors of the honor of one another. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned so beautifully that, do you know what the right of a neighbor is? It is that when he seeks help, you should help him. When he asks for a loan, you should give him a loan. When he is needy, you should support him. When he falls ill, you should inquire about his health. When he attains goodness, you should congratulate him. When he is inflicted with a calamity, you should console him. When he dies, then go along with his funeral. Do not block his heir by raising your building high without his permission. Do not bother him with your cooking smells. Instead, give him a share of it. If you buy fruit, send some to him as well. If it is not possible to send it to him, then keep it hidden when bringing it to your home, and your children should not take it out, as it will upset the children of your neighbor. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Look at these beautiful teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to your neighbors. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, by Allah, he will not be an absolute believer. By Allah, he will not be an absolute believer. By Allah, he will not be an absolute believer. So someone asked, O Messenger of Allah, صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ہو. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the person whose neighbor is troubled from his mischiefs. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So with all of this being said, dear viewers of Madani Channel, this is the time where we wrap up our program for today. And what we can take is to keep your bond strong with your family members, to know how to talk with one another, to know how to live with one another, even to the extent of loving and respecting your neighbor as well, taking care of their rights as well. Until next time, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Companions, believers, the stories we hear, the timeless message forever clear. The timeless message forever clear. The timeless message. The timeless message.